Live Creative Now, episode 94.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work. Because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, and author of The Creative Sandbox Way, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, which is a lie, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, writer, dancer, actor, singer, painter, whatever, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. It's how you change your life, and it's how you change the world. Before we get started, I want to invite you to come join me next week, Thursday, February 9th, for a free creativity workshop, Born to Create: Why Your Creative Play is Essential, Not Self-Indulgent. If you have a hard time getting yourself to do the creative things that you most love to be doing or would most love to be doing, this workshop is for you. I run these workshops every so often, about once a month lately. And if you haven't been before, or if you have been before, come join me. You can sign up at freecreativityworkshop.com. That's freecreativityworkshop.com. And you will learn the surprising truth about why you feel resistance to the thing you love to do. You will learn how to make every creative block your friend, I kid you not, and you will learn the unexpected science of how creative play affects the brain. Yes, I'm talking neuroscience here. You will never look at creative play the same way again. It's about 90 minutes, it's free, and if you stick around to the end, I have something very special for you. And yes, there will be a replay for a limited time, but the link for the replay will only go to people who register. So go do that at freecreativityworkshop.com. So with that, let's get on with today's episode. I was in Washington, D.C. all last week where I picked up a cold. I just had, a month ago after the holidays, I had the worst bug. I don't know if it was a flu or what, but I was on antibiotics. I had like sinus infection. It was awful. And I was just finally getting over that. And then, bam, I got a cold. And I'm finally starting to almost get over that. But I'm still like clearing out some phlegmy coffee stuff. Anyway, I was in Washington, D.C. all last week, which of course is ground zero of the really weird, crazy stuff that's happening in the U.S. right now. And, you know, I am not a political blogger. I blog and podcast about creativity and joy, not about politics, but the frightening truth is that for me and for so many people that I've talked to, what's happening in the U.S. right now and in the U.S. government right now is deeply impacting both our creativity and our joy. First off, we're being traumatized. Even if you are a rich, white, evangelical Christian, able-bodied, cisgendered male who has never experienced anything but perfect health, in other words, if you don't personally belong to a group that will suffer from or be targeted in any way by the cruelties and greed of the new administration, U of I's. In other words, unless you have been living in a cave, you can see the suffering that is already happening as a result of what is going on. And if you have an ounce of empathy, in other words, if you aren't a sociopathic narcissist, then the suffering that other people are experiencing is traumatizing. Because when we witness other people suffering, that's traumatizing. And because of what's happening right now, people are terrified. I'm terrified. And whether you are consciously aware of that personally, you know, everybody has different levels of awareness of terror, denial of terror, whatever. It feels like we're all walking around with our stomachs clenched, wondering what's going to happen next. And, you know, you may be living in a different, your experience may be different than mine. Your experience is different than mine. Obviously, you're a different person than I am. But what's happening right now is not normal. And yet, it's become the new normal, which is not healthy, of course. It's traumatic. And it actually reminds me of when the Loma Prieta earthquake hit, back when I was living in Berkeley in 1989. I was living in the area, the part of the world where the earthquake hit. Now, I grew up in California. I grew up in earthquake country. I was used to earthquakes. We had earthquake drills in school, and there were lots of earthquakes when I grew up as a kid. And until that big Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989, they were kind of fun. In this, you know, kind of horror film roller coaster kind of way. Now, I've never been a roller coaster kind of person. I don't actually like roller coasters. But my memory of earthquakes when I was growing up is, you know, there were plenty of earthquakes that happened when I was in school, and everybody would go, "Oh my gosh, there was just an earthquake." And, you know, people would sort of shriek, and we'd kind of, you know, tumble under our desks. Or, you know, we'd all go outside and meet in the parking lot or wherever we were supposed to meet or whatever, and we'd all be kind of a buzz. Or sometimes it would happen when, you know, I'd be at home and we'd be around the kitchen and everybody would, you know, laugh to sort of let off steam. And we all thought we were kind of hip, you know, because we'd been through an earthquake. But once you've experienced a big earthquake, and I don't remember what the Loma Prieta quake was on the Richter scale, but I should have looked it up. I can't remember what it was. But once you've experienced a big earthquake, earthquakes are not fun anymore. When you have felt the ground beneath your feet turn to liquid. I was in a big warehouse. It was called Whole Earth Access. It was like a big store, like a department, like a big warehouse department store kind of place. And the ground was rippling like an ocean. And these enormous lights, these industrial lights that were 40 feet up, because it was like this warehouse, started falling. And I looked up and realized, oh my God, am I standing underneath one of these lights? Is it going to hit me on the head and kill me? That is terrifying. And all of a sudden, when you have that kind of experience, nothing feels trustworthy anymore. There's this phrase, it's not so common in America, or at least I didn't hear it until I heard it in a Sting song. It's the phrase, safe as houses. Maybe it's a British phrase. Maybe it's an American phrase too. I just never heard it until I heard it in a Sting song. That phrase no longer applies when you've lived through a big earthquake. And the phrase solid ground is meaningless when you've lived through a big earthquake. You cannot trust that the ground is solid anymore because you never know when it might dissolve into liquid. This is where we're at right now. Many things that I thought to be rock solid about the United States have proven to be about as stable as landfill in an earthquake. And if you're like me, it might have sent you into a tailspin. So the reason that I share this with you is to say, if you feel like your creative output has been affected, no wonder. It's no wonder you're feeling just a mite stressed out. So that's the first way. That's what's happening in the world. Excuse me. Is affecting creativity and joy. The second way that what's happening in the world is deeply impacting both our creativity and our joy is that if, like me, you are refusing to sit idly by, you are now taking action. And perhaps, like me, you are taking a lot of action. I realized some weeks ago that taking action was essential to keeping my sanity because doing nothing, just, you know, going on with my regular life as if nothing had changed, that was literally making me feel worse. It was making me feel less sane, more out of control. Whereas every teeny tiny little thing I did to actively resist helped me feel surprisingly better. Now, this really shouldn't come as a surprise because it's very much in alignment with guidepost number 4 of my creative sandbox way, which is think tiny and daily. Now, I created my creative sandbox way guideposts to spark creative action, to get people doing, to get me doing and other people doing creative things, you know, our creative pursuits, our art. But it turns out that they are also remarkably helpful in sparking all kinds of actions, including acts of resistance to fascism, for example. Who knew? So I remembered that the Holocaust happened not solely because of the Nazis, but equally as much because of the silent complicity of regular German citizens. If regular German citizens had refused to be silently complicit, the Holocaust might never have happened. And I refuse to be silently complicit. Instead, I am actively resisting every single day. I am a Jedi pussy. Jedi pussycat, determined to do all I can to defeat the dark side. I'm in league with Princess Leia. So I have in the show notes, I have a couple of links for concrete suggestions for how to take action if you're interested. One is I signed up for dailyaction.org, which sends me a daily text with a single action for the day, tiny and daily, which includes a phone number that you can call that will automatically connect you to your senator or member of Congress. But I don't even need that phone number to do the auto call because I have programmed all of the phone numbers of both of my senators, my congresswoman, my state senator and my state assemblyman, and the Speaker of the House and the Speaker of the Senate right into my cell phone and added them to my favorites. So they're actually on speed dial. In other words, I've made it very easy, as easy as possible, to take small daily actions. Because taking those small daily actions helps me feel less hopeless and despairing. And this is very much tied into something I'm going to get to very quickly, a couple of tips that I want to share. In any case, excuse me, I honestly, never in my wildest dreams imagined that it would come to this in my lifetime in the US. And I spent the past few months in denial, hoping that it would not happen. But here we are. Here we are. We are traumatized. Some of us are working our Jedi pussy buns off. We're taking action, or guilty as charged, we're getting sucked into Facebook, which happens to me during times when we otherwise might be creating time suck, right? There's no time to create, eating up all our time, taking action, getting sucked into Facebook, whatever. And even if we have time to create, we don't feel like it because bleh, bleh, we're traumatized, yuck. So now what? And this is where, if I had really cool sound effects, I would cue the sound of screeching brakes. Screech. This is where it's time for an intervention and a paradigm shift. Because here's the thing. When things are really stressful like this, when we're dealing with massive time sucks, when we're dealing with huge, huge stressors like this, we need our art more than ever. More than ever. So, so, so important. We need our art. Your art is what is going to pull you through. Your art is your oxygen tank. It is your beating heart. Your art, it is what is going to help you survive. So do not bail on it. And I'm talking to myself just as much as I'm talking to you, because my tendency, quite honestly, is just to get sucked into the news, sucked into Facebook, sucked into all of this stuff. And then, I don't feel like doing my art. That is my tendency. And I am telling myself this just as much as you. I need my art more than ever right now. Because what I know to be true is that when I pull myself away from the news, from Facebook, and give myself that gift of doing my art, I feel better. It restores energy to my prefrontal cortex. It makes me happier. It feeds me. It powers me up. It is my oxygen tank. So here are two tips to keep you making your art in times of great stress, whether it's now or any other time of great stress. Here are two tips. Tip number one, put your art first. First. One of the most important things I figured out is this. The thing you do first is the thing that gets done. The thing you do first is the thing that gets done. Repeat after me. The thing you do first is the thing that gets done. So don't put your art off until you've done everything else. Now, it can be very tempting to use your art as a reward, to, you know, it's like that's the carrot at the end of, oh, I'll just do my laundry and my work and, you know, all the other things that I really don't want to do. And then I'll give myself my art as the dessert, as the reward at the end, once I've done all these other things that I really don't want to do. And I understand the thinking behind that, but it can be such a dangerous strategy, especially at times of stress, because what happens is you may never get to the end. And at times of stress, you need that reward so, so, so badly. So I say switch it out, give yourself your art first, feed yourself that necessary nourishment of your art first, then do the hard thing, because you need the nourishment of your art to power yourself up in order to get to the hard thing. So that's tip number one. Tip number two, eliminate the hoops. So the other important thing I figured out is that people are basically lazy. Or maybe it's just me. So here's an example. Back when I used to play guitar, I kept my guitar in its hard case and I kept it in the closet behind a bunch of coats, heavy coats. So every time I wanted to play my guitar, which, you know, ideally was every day, right? I wanted to practice every day. I had to open the closet, fight the coats to pull out the case, put the case on the bed, open it up, pull out the guitar, then tune the guitar and start playing. And then I had to go through the reverse to put the guitar away. Now, it didn't take me long to discover that this was going to be a problem because there were simply too many hoops to jump through every time I wanted to play my guitar. I had to open and close the door. That's a hoop. I had to fight the coats. That's another hoop. I had to pull out the case. That's another hoop. I had to put the case on the bed. That's a hoop. I had to open the case. That's a hoop. I had to pull out the guitar. That's a hoop. I had to tune the guitar. That's a hoop. That's seven hoops, even just to strum one chord on the guitar. I had to jump through seven hoops. So guess who didn't play her guitar very often? It didn't last very long. The sad truth is that the more hoops humans have to jump through, the less likely we are to do something. Think about animals in the circus. They don't jump through hoops unless a human being is, you know, after them with a whip. Come on. Nobody wants to jump through hoops. They don't jump through hoops unless they're forced to. So we got to eliminate the hoops. If you eliminate the hoops, if you minimize the hoops down to as few hoops as possible, then our chances of taking action start to increase dramatically. You want to get as few hoops as possible, ideally zero. Zero hoops is the goal. So I figured out that if I put a guitar hook on the wall and took the guitar out of the case entirely, then I could bring those seven hoops down to just one. All I had to do was tune the guitar. And in fact, if I was really lazy, I could just play it out of tune, which meant all I had to do was just pick it up off of the hook, which meant I actually played my guitar. Breezy, easy. Another example, back at the beginning of 2016, last year, I realized at the end of 2015, I realized weeks had gone by and I hadn't made any art. I have an art table, you know, theoretically a dedicated art space, but my computer is right behind my art table, or my art table's right behind my computer, whatever. And by the time I walked into my studio each day, the gravitational pull of the computer was just so strong that I never made it to my art table. I mean, I could literally turn around and take one step and be making art, but I wasn't doing it because the gravitational pull of the computer was so strong. Big problem. I wasn't making art. So what to do? Well, I knew that the thing I do first is the thing that gets done. So I thought to myself, how can I make art first thing? What can I do first thing in the morning, right in my bedroom? Ideally in my bed, before I even enter the gravitational field of my computer. Well, I can't paint with acrylic paints in bed because that's too messy, but I can draw with black markers in a sketchbook. So that is how my morning doodle practice started. I eliminated the hoops. I didn't have to, you know, fill up a water bucket and stick it on my art table. I didn't have to do anything. I just put my sketchbook, some Pigma micro markers, Derwent, and now I have some Derwent Inktense watercolor pencils and water brushes literally right next to my bed. They're right there. There are no hoops. I can literally doodle sitting up in bed first thing in the morning. And here's a bonus from that. My book, The Creative Sandbox Way, is filled with black and white doodles throughout, all colorable, you know, adult coloring pages all throughout, and illustrations all throughout the book. I drew those. I didn't know those were going to turn into The Creative Sandbox Way. When I was drawing them all throughout 2016, I didn't know those were going to turn into a book. I just was drawing them because I needed to make art. This is what happens. You eliminate the hoops and you create space for action. You create space for action and you create things. Anyway, I don't even have to walk across the hall to my studio because I figured out how to eliminate the hoops so that I could make art. And guess who is now way more likely to make art every day now? Do I actually make art every single day? No, I don't, because I'm human. But I respond with self-compassion when I miss a day. And then guess who is able to get back on the wagon? Because I treat myself with love and kindness when I miss a day. Anyway, these are just a couple of examples of eliminating the hoops. I could give you so many more. One of my favorites is of someone who wanted to start a morning running habit, but the hassle of putting on her running clothes was just too big of a hoop for her. So months went by and she never did it. And then finally, she got the brilliant idea to go to sleep in her running clothes. And she put her running shoes right next to her bed. So now every morning she wakes up already dressed to go running because she's gone to sleep in her running clothes. And all she has to do is slip her feet into her running shoes and run out the door. She eliminated the hoops. She figured out what the hoops were that were preventing her from, you know, from what her goal was, and she eliminated them. I have a free Facebook group for my Creative Sandbox Way readers. Anybody who gets the book, the Creative Sandbox Way, can join a free Facebook group. And one of the readers shared that she created a special box of art supplies that is ready at a moment's notice. It's easy to keep out of reach of her 2-year-old because she can just put it up high on a shelf. She doesn't have space in her house for a dedicated art table. And, you know, she has a 2-year-old, so that would be hard for her to to carry off anyway, but her creative sandbox supply box works really well for her. She can carry it around. She can, it's, you know, ready at a moment's notice. And that box is how she eliminated the hoops. So she doesn't have to spend her time hunting for her supplies. She can just grab her box and get started making art immediately. Moment's notice. So what can you do to eliminate the hoops and be ready at a moment's notice to get creating? That's what I want you to think about and share. Pop on over to the show notes and share in the comments how you're going to do that. I would really love to know. livecreativenow.com/094. Because here's the thing, at this time of emotional earthquakes and time sinks, if you're throwing a lot of time into, you know, resistance or whatever, you need your art more than ever. As I have shared elsewhere, when you make time for your art, it literally restores energy to your brain's prefrontal cortex. It gives you more patience, gives you more willpower. It refreshes and recharges you. It is so important. And making your art helps give you the will to go on when times are rough. Now is not the time to deny yourself your art. Now is the time to give yourself more creative sandbox time, not less. And you do that by putting your art first and eliminating the hoops. Even if you give yourself just 15 minutes a day of creative sandbox playtime, even if it's just 10 minutes or just 5 minutes, whatever it is, that healing creative time will make a world of difference. So let me know how it goes. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you are getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends and hop on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. If you need step-by-step instructions, just go to livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. You would totally make my day by leaving me a new review. That's livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. And don't forget, next week, Thursday, February 9th, I am holding a free creativity workshop, and you can sign up at freecreativityworkshop.com. It's about 90 minutes long. It's free, and there will be a replay for a limited time, but the link will only go to people who register. So go do that at freecreativityworkshop.com. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you again for joining me. And until next time, go get creating. Mwah!
Live creative now. Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.